man. Go ahead and grab a seat, man. Tell you what, was that not a great moment? Just allowing ourselves to kind of reflect on everything God has done over this past year. Well, man, we're excited to have you with us this weekend. My name's Kurt, and if you're here for the first time, we certainly hope it's not your last time. And for those of you tuning online, so good to have you join us today. And anybody excited about Thanksgiving 2021? Let's make some noise for Thanksgiving. Man, I'm so excited. I love this week. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. I mean, it really is kind of the start of the holiday season, right? I mean, later this week, we're all probably going to be gathering around a family with or a table with some of our friends, with some of our family. We're going to be, you know, with loved ones. And we're going to have moments kind of like this Christmas scene right here. Take a look at this.
Before we begin, since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas, I think she should lead us in the saying of grace.
Oh, great.
Oh. What, dear?
Grace!
Grace! She passed away 30 years ago.
They want you to say grace. The blessing.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
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 My word. That never gets old, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what season. You know, the holidays are coming, right? I mean, we're coming, and all the feels, all the food, all the family, the chaos, all of it is going to be starting this next week. But this week is about giving thanks. And I just thought, you know, since we're kind of heading into Thanksgiving week, it's time for me where I kind of catch up on personal stuff, check my inbox, I send out, you know, some emails and catch up on my thank you notes. You guys mind if I do my thank you notes like right here while we're sitting in here now? You guys mind?
I don't mind.
Oh, it'd
yeah,
be quick.
Go for
right,
it.
Do we have any thank you note writing music, Scott? Man, it's amazing.
Man, it's like he prepared it or something.
It's like he knew we were going to do this.
I know. It's great.
Thank you, folding chairs that have been added to the table at Thanksgiving, making it really clear who the B-list family members are. have to sit in the folding chair,
right?
I mean, is
the like kiddie table like the C-list family members?
Yeah, it's like don't that's Uncle Bill's chair. You want some water? The hose.
Usually they're
back.
Cold at that point too, because they came from the garage last minute.
Thank you, cranberry sauce, for looking like a can, but also tasting weirdly like a can. Like, do you like cranberry sauce?
I don't like it. Do you? Do you ever eat it?
I do eat some, but it's not sauce, right? It's like jam. It's like jelly. Right. It like jiggles.
So should you put it on your bread instead?
You should really like put it on your bread.
Yeah,
like,
sounds gross to
cranberry
me.
Cranberry jam. Right. Thank you, Thanksgiving dinner. For me, in the one time, it's socially acceptable to unbuckle your pants in front of your relatives.
Right there in front of the TV
watching
football.
I'm not getting naked. I'm just making room. Did you realize, I heard just this past week, that the average person will eat anywhere from 4 to 13 pounds of food on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, my
gosh. 4 to 13 pounds. Can you imagine?
No.
You got to make room, right? Buckle your pants.
Some people do.
Yeah. Thank you, Black Friday sales, for being the perfect way to get some holiday shopping done for anyone who's not heard of the internet. I mean, like you would have thought, like, after last year, like, Black Friday went away, right? Like,
yeah, why go out? You might as well just stay home.
Just stay home and shop.
It's perfect.
Go to the store. All right, here we go. Thank you, IHOP's new Winter Wonderland pancakes. Looks good, but should we really be adding shimmering icing and marshmallows to a perfectly healthy pile of cake, butter, and syrup? That's like a heart attack on a plate right there, right?
That's about as bad as the adding, like, the, what would you say, 13 pounds of food.
13 pounds of food and add some IHOP pancakes on the top. There you go. It's Thanksgiving.
Sugar overload.
All right. Thank you, pumpkin-flavored beer coming out once a year for being just long enough for everyone to forget that pumpkin beer tastes terrible.
Right?
It's like you forget, right?
Yep.
It's like
pumpkin everything, but it all.
Yeah. Who came up with pumpkin beer?
Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't a good idea.
Thank you, NFL season, for giving Americans a new reason to be mad at people from other states.
Why not?
Like, we needed another reason, yeah, right? I mean, like, the last year hasn't been enough. So now we got Patriots fans. Patriots fans. Thank you, jack-o'-lanterns, for always being way scarier the last week of November than you ever were on Halloween. Right? It's like, kids, stay away. Just keep them on your front porch. Keeps everybody away.
Oh,
all the time. All the time. Thank you, Jimmy Fallon, for keeping it light, keeping it fun, and reminding us that even in the darkest of times, we can still be thankful. How about that?
Yeah.
Hey, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you notes 2021. How about that? Oh, my word. Those are all compliments to Jimmy Fallon. Any Jimmy Fallon fans in the room right here, right now? Oh, yeah, awesome. You know, my kids are always like, Dad, if you could meet anybody, would it be Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers, or Clark Griswold? It's a hard toss-up, but some of my favorite people right there. Well, hey, we're glad you're here today. You know, the interesting thing about thank you notes, there is something really powerful about expressing our gratitude. Right? I mean, and so, you know, as we think about getting us in the mood, I mean, we want to do everything possible tonight and over the course of this weekend to get us in a place where we are ready for the Thanksgiving holiday. And, you know, we want you to have a fantastic Thanksgiving. And let's be honest, there's still things going on in our world that are difficult and challenging and create stress and anxiety. But in the midst of that, we still have the ability to find things that we can be thankful for. And, you know, gratitude is a feeling, right? It's something that we feel, and it's kind of a universal response. Whenever we experience something good, we feel gratitude. Or when maybe we find ourselves on the backside of a really, really rough experience, we experience and feel these kind of just instinctively and intuitively, it's kind of these automatic feelings of gratitude. But today, I want us to see that gratitude is more than a feeling. In fact, gratitude is at its best when it is expressed. Gratitude's at its best when it's expressed. So we're going to take a look at one of Jesus' kind of famous moments where he kind of gives us a picture of gratitude. And now every time I look at this story and I read this narrative, my gratitude bar kind of gets raised. And so that's really what I hope happens for us as we look at this today. And I immediately begin to think of people in my life and my you know, kind of sphere of influence who maybe haven't heard my gratitude or maybe haven't penned it to them or haven't, you know, texted them or typed it out to them. And so Jesus, in this story, he's on his way to Jerusalem and he's traveling kind of in this kind of out in the middle of nowhere area. And he's in a very remote area, and he's traveling between the border of Samaria and Galilee. And so here's where the gospel writer Luke kind of picks up the story. He said, as he, meaning Jesus, was going along, he went into a village, and 10 men who had leprosy met him there. Now, people who had leprosy kind of hovered between death and life, meaning they weren't really dead, but they definitely weren't fully living. Meaning, you know, they were quarantined, they had to stay at a distance. They got to watch everybody else live, but they really couldn't live themselves because leprosy was considered highly contagious. And so because of this, they had to be quarantined. And let's be honest, you and I know a little something about quarantining now, right? I mean, 2 years ago, this may not have really had any connection to us, but, you know, the law at that time, it basically required anyone who had any kind of skin disease to live in this designated area that was kind of set apart on the fringe of town, on the outskirts of town, away from everybody else. In fact, anytime you would even approach a group of people, if you had any kind of skin disease, you had to kind of call yourself out. You had to kind of yell out, unclean, unclean. Now we kind of do that today, but it's kind of like this. It's like, right? Like anytime you hear somebody coughing, you're like, all right, we're going to stay away from them. So that's kind of like the new like call out in our modern day world. But these men and women, if you had a skin disease like this, you had to kind of keep your distance and stay away. So here's what happens next. It says they, meaning the lepers, stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And so they're out in the middle of nowhere. They've come into this tiny little town. They're standing on the outskirts of this town, probably to buy supplies, probably to keep their distance. They needed to get some resources, some supplies, some food. And in the midst of that moment when they're at the edge of town, they recognize, hey, it's Jesus. And they knew who Jesus was. I mean, they knew him by his reputation. And they call out to him in a really unusual way. They say, hey, Jesus, Master, which is fascinating because that term of endearment, to call him Master, was really reserved for someone who was following him as a rabbi. Somebody who was trying to emulate him, someone who was connected day in, day out to him, following him around, trying to do the things that he does and emulate the ways that he leads and lives. And so, you know, these guys aren't following Jesus around, I mean, because they can't be close to him, but desperate times call for desperate measures. And so if he really can do what people have said he can do, then perhaps Jesus is their only hope. And so here's what Luke says happens next. It says, when he saw them, he said, go. Now, they didn't want to hear this, because that's what everybody said to them, right? Everybody's like, hey, go, get away from us. We don't want you around us. But that's not what Jesus was saying to them. He said, go and show yourself to the priests. And of course, they're thinking, what do you mean, go show ourselves to the priests? I mean, what do we have to show the priests? I mean, there's nothing that they want to see. Like, they never want to see us. We don't have anything new to show them. But Jesus, he kind of had a triple intent right here. There's three things that he was really building into them in this moment. The first one being that anyone who, again, according to the law, had a skin disease had to stay quarantined. And again, we know something about that. And so, you know, in this situation, they actually had to go to the local priest to get approved before they could get back into circulation with people. Which means when Jesus says, hey, I want you to go, he's basically saying, hey, when you go and as you're going, something's going to happen, and on the way there, you're going to get clean. This is what he's inferring to them. And then another thing that was kind of interesting is there were 10 of them, right? So, I mean, think about this. Think about 10 lepers showing up to the priest, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're all clean. I want you to take a look and see if we're approved to go back into circulation with the people. All right, the priest probably would have been like, whoa, what just happened? I mean, obviously something miraculous and amazing just took place. And this would like build into Jesus' reputation. It'd actually be hard to argue that there was something amazing that took place based on 10 lepers getting healed. And then the third thing had to do with their willingness to go before anything had even changed. I mean, think about this, right? I mean, this was definitely like an expression of faith in Jesus for them to begin to do what Jesus asked them to do. Because nothing has changed yet, right? And if they get there and there's like nothing different, like it's not only egg on their face, but it's like duly humiliating for them, right? They're like, hey, Jesus told us to come and show ourselves to you. And so they're expecting that there's something that's going to be different. And so Jesus says, go. And they actually went. And they didn't go because, you know, it made any sense. They simply went because Jesus told them to. And so it says, as they went, as they obeyed, they were cleansed. I mean, they literally in this moment like walked by faith. And, you know, you hear that phrase every now and then kind of thrown around, you know, among church people and kind of among circles of Christians sometimes. Oh, walk by faith. Just got to walk by faith. Well, this is literally right here what it means to walk by faith, to respond to a promise before they knew the outcome. And that's what they did right here. But see, here's where the twist in the story comes. And this is the reason we're talking about on this Thanksgiving weekend. In verse 15, it says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned around and he began to go back. Meaning, you know, he turned around. He kind of did a loop. He returned. He completed the circle. He filled in the gap. And the text says he came back praising God in a loud voice. And so obviously something had happened. He'd been cleansed. And so there's no more physical distancing that was needed. And so when he meets Jesus, it says he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. He thanked Jesus. I mean, he wasn't content with just feeling thankful. No. He's like, I got to express this. He wasn't content with just kind of like, oh my gosh, that's good. And I feel this warmth in my heart. He's like, no. I've got to display my gratitude. And think about this. Think about how much he probably wanted to get back to his family. Think about how much he probably wanted to get back to his friends and his community, all the people he'd been kind of living on the outside looking in with. And yet he needed to complete this gratitude loop right here. In fact, he did what I think probably Jesus would say all of us should do. I mean, he went back. He went back to the one who enabled him to actually move forward. And then Luke, the next thing that Luke writes right here, I mean, I'm sure he was probably just smiling as he was writing these next four words in Greek, which are really five words when they're translated into English. They're these words right here. He says, he was a Samaritan. And he was a Samaritan. Now, if you're not aware, you almost just read right by this. Like, oh, he's a Samaritan. Great. What's that mean? Well, this is huge. This has huge implications right here. See, this infers that the nine others probably weren't Samaritans. They're probably Galileans, which were kind of the chosen people, the insiders. They were always like kind of on the spiritually on the inside of the circle. This was the one guy who was always on the outside, always kind of discriminated against, always on the outside looking in. He kind of alienated on so many levels, and yet he's the one that came back so grateful, which is just fascinating because when you read through the book of Luke, when you read his account of Jesus' life, he lifts these moments out all the time. He's always showing us moments where Jesus is spending time with people who this first century culture would go, oh yeah, Jesus would never spend time with that person. And yet he does. And over and over and over again, it's these outsiders who actually express the most gratitude. I mean, they weren't confused about whether they were deserving or not. They knew they weren't deserving, which is maybe why they had so much gratitude. And their pride and their busyness didn't get in the way of them closing that gratitude loop with Jesus. And then the episode continues. But it gets even better because Jesus then kind of poses a question, a really interesting question. It says, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? I mean, think about this for a moment. Now, in the original Greek text, it's interesting because the interrogative, the word where, is actually placed at the end of the sentence to kind of make bigger impact. And so the way it would have gone in the Greek was, the nine? Where? like where are they? Like, what about the nine others? Like, something's missing right here. In fact, someones, like a whole bunch of someones are missing right here. What happened to the other nine guys? Like, they missed their moment right here. They missed their window. They missed their opportunity. They missed the chance to kind of complete the circle. There's something unfinished. The circle has not been closed. But now, the window to close it has closed. And if you're a parent, like, you totally understand what Jesus is doing right here. Or, you know, if you can think back to, like, when you were a kid, you probably totally get this right here. Like, imagine back to when you were a kid and you got a gift, maybe at Christmas time. And your parents are, like, hovering right over your shoulders right there. And what was the first thing they said? I mean, you open that thing up and they're like, what do you need to say? And you're like, I don't know. And they're like, what do you need to say? They're like, say thank you, right? Say thank you right here. It's almost like an urgency to it. Like, the window's going to close. Like, this is the moment, like, for you to respond and express your gratitude in this moment. If you don't take advantage of this moment right here, like, it's going to close. And you're not going to have the chance to close that gap again. Now here's why this is so important. All right, think about this for a moment. The reason expressing our gratitude, and even Jesus lifting this out in this story, is so important is because our hearts naturally gravitate toward recognition and gratitude, right? Meaning, it's not really a choice. I mean, gratitude to some degree is a choice, but it's really a response. I mean, it's really choosing how we respond to things. Now, if you're married or if you hope to be in a permanent relationship, here's just a little tip, all right? And this is so big. I tell you what, you do this and your relationship will go up and to the right. So here's the tip. Don't let anyone out-grateful you. Don't let anyone out-grateful you. What does that mean? What that means is be the most grateful person in your loved one's life. Be the most grateful person. Because see, our hearts and their hearts actually gravitate toward recognition and gratitude. And for those of you in the room that are students, if you're a college student or a high school student or a junior high student, let me just tell you a little secret. And don't tell your parents that I told you this, but like this is like really big right here. You know, when you're interacting with your parents, if you'd like your mom and dad to be a little more yes than no, like if you'd like them to like be a little more yes to the freedom and no to the restrictions, or a little more yes to, hey, can I go do this, and instead of no, then be grateful for everything. Like use moments to just express and say it out loud. Like express your gratitude. Don't let anyone out grateful you. Right? And here's why. Because listen, your parents, they probably feel like they're taken for granted sometimes, right? Because if you're like a normal junior higher, senior higher, just like I was when I was that age, or if you're a normal college student, then, you know, you might think, well, I mean, yeah, I've got a room at my parents' house. I got a roof over my head. And, you know, I've got nice clothes that they've given to me, some cool clothes. And, you know, if you're a senior higher, college student, you're like, I've got access to a car. I mean, I have my own car, but at least I have access to my car. Maybe you have your own car. And yeah, I've certainly got way more food than I would ever need. But that's what they're supposed to do, right? That's my parents, after all. That's their job. See, junior, senior high students, listen, don't be typical like that. Just out grateful everyone around you. And I'm telling you, it will melt your parents' hearts. It truly will. It truly will. Because gratitude is the language of the heart. And at the end of the day, think about it this way. They don't owe you anything. In fact, at the end of the day, everybody's a volunteer, including your parents. I mean, that what they do is really still voluntarily done. And so don't miss the opportunity to just, you know, be ridiculously grateful. So this was the point Jesus was trying to make right here. He's like, the other nine, like they missed it. Like the window was open for a period of time, but then they missed it. It's like the moment passed. And think about this for a moment. Like their entire destiny changed, right? I mean, they were quarantined away from community, away from people they loved, away from their life, away from the things that they enjoyed, away from their family, away from their friends. And yet Jesus intervened. Jesus came and he got involved and everything got restored. I mean, they're not toggling between life and death anymore, right? I mean, they're not on the outside looking in. They actually get to re-engage with life. And of course, the question is, but where were the other nine, right? And when you hear this, you're probably like, yeah, where were the other nine? Like, why didn't they go back, right? Well, before we judge them too harshly, I want you to think about this for a moment. Imagine if you had the chance to track one of those other nine down. I mean, imagine if you were to go into their village and you were to find them, you know, they're interacting with their kids whom they haven't seen in, you know, months or years. If you were to go up and say, hey, like, were you not grateful for what took place right there? You know what they'd probably say? They probably go, oh my gosh, no, I was so grateful. I mean, my heart is like overwhelmed right now. I'm so full of gratitude for what Jesus did. Like, why would you think I was not grateful? Because see, the other nine, I mean, they had to feel it, right? They had to feel that inside. The problem is, like you and I sometimes, they probably just forgot to express it. They forgot to share it. And so Jesus, he asked the question. He says, has no one returned to give praise to God except this one foreigner, the Samaritan, the one who's outside looking in, unlike the rest of us? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Because see, the circle was complete. He completed the circle. Now I want to ask you a question. And I think this question is going to set you up to just have a fantastic Thanksgiving week. And so here's the question. I want you to be really honest with yourself about this question. Is expressing gratitude, and I'm not talking feeling gratitude. I mean, we all feel gratitude. We all are like, oh yeah, that feels warm. It feels good. I'm thankful. I'm not talking the feeling level. Is expressing gratitude difficult for you? Meaning, are you more comfortable with pointing out how something could be better, or are you more comfortable pointing out all the good about something that already is? I mean, ask yourself that question. And if so, then if it's difficult for you to express gratitude, have you ever dug into why you think that way? Have you ever dug into why you're wired that way and discovered, okay, why do I naturally think that? And if you haven't, I'll give you kind of a starting point. Here's kind of a hint. If we're honest, I mean, sometimes gratitude, I mean, we share that, it feels like an admission of weakness, right? I mean, if we're honest, I mean, when I, you know, thank you, and I'm like, oh, you know, thank you for all you did for me, it's almost like I would not have been able to accomplish this on my own without help, right? But like, think about it. You wouldn't have in most cases, right? I mean, when you think about your progress in your life, as you think about your success, think about this. As you look in the rearview mirror at, you know, your life professionally, as you look in the rearview mirror at your life, you know, academically, as you look in the rearview mirror in your life financially and relationally and even athletically, you know, you probably see dozens of people who've been a part of facilitating your success. And see, acknowledging their role isn't a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of maturity. And so, as you think about that, I want you to ask yourself, who comes to mind in that moment? Whose name comes to mind in terms of maybe being significantly a part of my success or where I am right now? Now, I want to kind of walk us through an experience. I want us to do something that I think, again, is going to kind of generate some gratitude and begin to kind of prime the pump on this for us this week. And so what I want you to do is take out your mobile device, your phone, and open up an email, or I want you to open up a notes page, something where you can just type in or make a list. And over the last 7 weeks, we've been in this thing called the 49-Day Challenge, and some of you were a part of that, and we were doing these challenges, you know, multiple times a week based on these little cards that we had that just helped us grow in spiritual disciplines that would develop our core strength. And I want us to do one of the challenges that we did very early on in this journey all together in the room. This is for your benefit, because I think this is going to prime the pump for us as we head into Thanksgiving week. All right, so one of the cards, it's actually become my favorite card, is a card that's called Be Grateful. And here's what the Be Grateful card says. It says, make a list of 10 things, at least 10 things, for which you're grateful, whether it's a vintage motorcycle, your mom's hugs. Write a one-line thank you note to God for each of these sweet blessings, right? A one-line thank you note. And so I want us to do that. In fact, in just a moment, the band's going to, you know, kind of give us a song and give us a little space to kind of think through this a little bit. But I want you to start writing up to 10 things, just 10 things. And then after you write 10 things that you're just thankful for right now, I want you to just write a one-line thank you note to God on why you're thankful for that thing. And let me tell you why I think this is going to be helpful. If your life is like mine, there are days where I have good days, and there's days where I have bad days. And I've discovered over the last couple weeks that whenever I'm feeling down, I pull this card out. And I start my day writing about 10 things I'm thankful for, and I tell you what, it begins to turn my spirit. And let's be honest. I mean, you know, we'd be remiss to just say, oh, everything's good, and I'm just thankful for everything. Listen, the world's still in a difficult place, right? I mean, there's still a lot of challenges, a lot of anxieties that we're dealing with. It's a challenging season. And while we've all been in the same storm, and we've all been in different boats, we've had different experiences over the last year and a half, 2 years. And even though it still seems like it's raining around us, there are breaks in the clouds. And if we don't look for them, we might just miss them. So take a few moments and just write down, what are you thankful for? Make a list, and then write a one-line thank you note to God as you listen.
But you didn't even notice. It ain't raining anymore. It's hard to breathe when all you know is the struggle of staying above the rising waterline. Well, the sky is finally open. The rain and wind stop blowing. But you're stuck out in the same old storm again. You hold tight to your umbrella, but darling, I'm just trying to tell you that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. If you could see what I see, you'd be blinded by the yellow, red, and orange, and green, and at least a million others. So tie up the boat, take off your coat, and take a look around. 'Cause the sky is finally open, the rain and wind stop blowing, but you're stuck out in the same old storm again. You hold tight to your umbrella, well, darling, I'm just trying to tell you that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. Oh, take a look around. Everything is all right now. 'Cause the sky is finally open. The rain and wind stop blowing. But you're stuck out in the same old storm again. let go of your umbrella. Darling, I'm just trying to tell you that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. Yeah, there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. It'll all be all right.
Man, doesn't it feel good to begin to just notice all around us, even amidst the rain that's going on around us, that there's a rainbow? There's goodness. And the clouds at moments are parting. Who on your list, as you wrote that list down, who's somebody that needs to hear from your lips this week? Who's somebody that needs to hear from your pen or perhaps from your keyboard? You know, as I sat down here, listened to the words of that song, I was overwhelmed with gratitude for all of you, actually, in this season. And I was overwhelmed with all of you, and what I mean by that is I was overwhelmed with all of you who consider Crosspoint, this church, this community, your church home. And really any of you who show up and attend here or connect with us on weekends or during the week in small groups, and you know, including those of you who through this unusual and just crazy strange season continue to show up every single weekend online, and you tune in and you sit in your homes and your coffee shops and sometimes in bed and you connect with us. And by you, I'm referring to those of you who fuel all the life change around here by your generosity to this thing we call the Joy Box. And, you know, by all of you, I mean those of you who are volunteers around here. I mean the dozens, even hundreds of you that are now serving and are connected in, you know, welcoming people at the front doors and making sure there's a hot cup of coffee and kids have an awesome, awesome environment to run to. And by the way, wearing masks without complaining in our kids' environments so we can keep our kids safe and keep them in school and you working. And our techs and our videographers in this room and everybody on the stage, our band, who you know allows not only this experience to happen, but for this to be broadcast each and every weekend. And for our dozens of small group leaders, I mean, people who, you know, just serve quietly in their homes, connecting people in coffee shops and in living rooms and over Zoom windows. And let me just say, we could not do it without you. Couldn't do it without you. So I just want to say thank you. And all of this, what's the goal? Well, it's simply to help people find their way to God. Simply to help people find their way to God. And I don't know if you saw or were able to see some of the baptisms that we had last weekend. It's just an absolutely amazing moment. And if you didn't have the chance to see those, just take a look at this baptism recap video. Was that? Holy cow. And you know what the cool part of that is? Every single one of you are part of those stories right there. Every single one of you. Because none of those would happen. None of those would happen without you. So thank you. Thank you. Man, I tell you what, there's so much to be thankful for. And, you know, I want us to take a look as we begin to close at a part of a guy by the name of King David. King David's an Old Testament king, and we have these pages that we find that are out of his prayer journal, where he probably did the same thing you and I just did, where he just found himself needing to write down some of the things he's grateful for. In fact, here's one of the things he wrote in Psalm 103. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." I think that's probably came out of an experience where he was just like, okay, I just need to express my thanks. I need to write down with my pen how thankful I am to God. And then he kind of continues the conversation a few chapters later in Psalm 116, where he says, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? And as you think about that question, you know, what can I offer the Lord for all the benefits that he's brought into my life? And some of us might go, well, I mean, what do? We offer our faithfulness. We offer our obedience to God, which, yeah, and God gets very much honored by that, but I don't think that's what King David was talking about right here. I mean, his question is, what can I offer the Lord due to all his benefits that he's given to me? And again, we might go, well, I mean, you know, I hope my life has a little more good than bad, and if I can just do a little more good in the world and kind of balance the scales that way, then hopefully God will be happy with me. Let me tell you something, that's not at all what God's looking for right there. See, the question David asks, what can I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? And you know what the answer is? The answer is, he says, I want you to propose a toast. I want you to propose a toast to God. I want you to propose a toast to your heavenly Father and just express your gratitude to him. In fact, take a look at what he says here. He says, I lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. And so this is what we're going to do as we kind of head into this Thanksgiving week. And so we're going to be sharing a Thanksgiving meal of sorts. In fact, this is a meal that people who have followed after the heart of God for hundreds of years, thousands of years, have been sharing together. Some call it communion, others call it the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper or the Mass. And it's an opportunity for us to just remember all the benefits God has brought into our life, for us to remember his faithfulness and to remember his grace. In fact, Jesus, when he was meeting with his team, his disciples, his small group, that night that he was betrayed before he went to the cross, he gathered them around a table and he took some common food items off the table and he just began to make spiritual connections. And he said to his team, he said, hey, I took a piece of bread. He said, every time you eat this bread, from this day forward, I want you to remember my body that was broken for you. And so we're going to invite you to eat this bread in a few moments. And I want you to remember your manners. I want you to just say thank you. I mean, just as you receive this bread, just use that as a moment. In fact, every time this week that you eat and you gather around a table, perhaps that's a time to just say, man, thank you. Thank you, God. I just want to express my gratitude to you. Thank you. And then he picked up the cup and he said, every time you drink this cup, I want you to remember my blood, which was poured out for many. Love that line, poured out for many. You say, whoa, wait a second, Kurt, I thought it was poured out for everyone. Well, it was, but Jesus knew that only some would receive it because he has to be received. And he poured out his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And so you're going to be served a cup in just a few moments, and I invite you to lift up the cup of salvation and offer a toast to your heavenly Father. Just say, hey, thank you. God, thank you. And let me just say, as we go through this experience over the next few moments, you know, if this doesn't reflect your life, if you don't know Jesus personally as your Savior, if you've not received his grace, then this doesn't really mean anything to you, which that's totally cool. We're glad you're here. This is the right place for you to be, and you can continue to see if you want to take a step into receiving that. But for everyone who has received his grace, these tables are open to you. In fact, if you're someone who's ready to receive his grace, maybe perhaps for the first time, like, yeah, I'm ready to take a step of faith and receive God's grace, then as you receive the bread, Christ's body, a symbol of Christ's body broken for you, allow this to be your statement of faith. Of Jesus, I do believe your body was broken for me. And as you drink the cup, may this serve as your profession of faith that I need your grace, Jesus. I need the forgiveness of sins. And make this your first communion. This is what we're going to do over the next few moments. So let's go ahead and stand, and I want to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Holy cow, huh? I just want to recognize you are the source of all good things in our lives. And Father, we just want to turn our hearts to you right now. We want to orient our thanks to you for your goodness, for your faithfulness, and for your grace. And we just want to thank you for all that by lifting up the cup of salvation to you right now. And we say thank you. So here's how we're going to do this. And those of you tuning in at home, you can participate in this as well. In fact, this is a moment for you to grab your juice or wine and crackers or bread, whatever you have available, and then join us in this moment. For those of us in the room, we're going to invite you to the Thanksgiving tables. And what we're going to ask you to do is come down the center aisles, and you can pick your bread. You can pick your crackers, and you can take more than one if you like. I mean, these are the tables of abundance today, and so we want you to eat until you're full. So if you're hungry right now, like, take a few pieces with you. Take them back to your seat. You're going to be handed a cup, a full cup, not a little thimble of juice, but something that you're going to feel like it has the ability to quench your thirst. Because, again, it reminds us, this table reminds us that God is an abundant God and His grace never ends. And I tell you something, if you get back to your seat and you find yourself like needing more, circle back around. The tables are going to be open. But don't forget to say thank you. I mean, whether it's when you receive the cup or when you get back to your seat, if you're with somebody, you might just take a moment and offer a toast and say, God, cheers. Toast to you. Thank you for my salvation. So this is what we're going to do as we sing this song. The tables of the Lord are open for you. I hope your hearts are full. Let's come and receive and be reminded of all the Lord's goodness. Let's sing together.